the network to the sports leader. It's time for our NFL Network Insider Ian Rappaport with Murph and Mac.
Sponsored by the Alameda County Sheriff's Office, seeking highly motivated people to join their diverse and growing law enforcement agency with salaries up to $140,000 and sign-on bonuses for new candidates. Apply at joinacso.com.
On KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Yeah, you are listening to KNBR and KNBR FM San Francisco, the sports leader and Cumulus Media Station. What a day! 49ers 23, Cowboys 17. So much to get to.
Come on, man.
Including... based on his Twitter timeline, was Ian Rappaport watching yet another epic 49ers-Cowboys playoff history? Was he watching it on Nickelodeon with the slime? Was he?
Did he get slime?
I see him on his Twitter timeline putting the slime up there. Good morning, Rapsheet.
Hey.
Welcome back. And you imagine how we're feeling, man. We get another week.
Yeah.
We get another week of this, man. We're excited. We're pretty pumped. How are you, man?
Never in doubt, guys, right? Never in doubt.
You know, to be honest, I actually, as Pauly Mack was saying, he was a little flipped out near the end. I kept thinking the Niners are going to win the game. Now, you know, obviously that last play is fun for Monday morning discussion, so we'll start right on it. What are you hearing from the league office or Dallas or anything? I mean, you know, our view is the game is over, like Alex Kemp said.
Oh, by the way, to answer your previous question,
yeah,
I was watching the whole thing on Nickelodeon, and I have a was working with actually Nickelodeon during the game, doing some tweets and stuff. But I have a 7-year-old and an 8-year-old, and they play sports. They do everything, but they have never watched an entire game with me. And they sat in the room and watched, I would say 98% of the game with me when they weren't wrestling each other.
yeah.
Nickelodeon was amazing. And I don't know how many people watched it. I'm curious to see the ratings, but like, they did a fantastic job for the younger audience, you know?
I totally agree. So cool. And my we watched the one last year or 2 years ago, whenever they did it. And my kid, if it wasn't the 49ers Cowboys, we would have had that on in our house. I have a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old. The 10-year-old would have loved it. But it was Niners Cowboys. I had to go old school. I had to go Nance Romo. So,
well, and what was great about Nance Romo was, and I'm watching, sort of catching up on the real broadcast today, Nance called it. He was all over it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Dak gets up at the line, mm-hmm. and he takes off, and Nance goes, this is not going to work. They're not going to have enough time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was the cool thing to me because, like, he was on it. And so it was, from taking a look at it from all sides, it was not enough time to do what they need to do. They needed 16 or 17 seconds, and they had 14. The referee was not in a good position because he was about 23 yards from where the ball ended up. So he should have been running with Dak. So maybe if that happens, then he spots it fast enough. Dak lands on the ground after his run with 8 seconds left. So if the official was right there, he could have spotted it with 4 seconds left, and Dak could have thrown it down with 2 seconds left, and they would have been fine. But once the official doesn't get through cleanly, then it was over because, you know, the Cowboys did actually snap it on time. That was not the issue. The issue was there was 1 second left when they snapped it, so by the time the ball hit the ground, the clock was done and the game was over. So even though everyone is sort of upset about the ref not being there fast enough, the NFL says he was in a good place, I guess. And they didn't get the snap off in time to spike it.
I mean, it was a risk. They took a real risk. They really, I mean, for listen.
By you what, could, staying in bounds, you mean?
No, just saying by running that play as deep as they did and expecting everything to go their way. And listen, you can imagine how
it's
we feel
chaotic.
About it.
Yeah, yeah.
We're like, you made your own bed, man. You're the ones who called that play. You're the ones who demanded everything to go perfectly so you could get 1 second left on the clock. So you know, obviously we're pretty biased here, but trying to be non-biased about it, they were asking a lot for it to work perfectly like that, and it didn't work out.
Yep.
Right, and that's all true, but I would also say that any play at that point, you have to be absolutely perfect, right? Like, you have 14 seconds left, you're on the, were they on the 40? I forget where they were exactly, but, you know, let's say 40 yards to go. You have to, it's a, you know, 3-step drop, it's an out, or it's two quick one, like whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
you have to be absolutely perfect. And so, like, you know, it's like Cowboys fans are upset they got screwed by the refs, and I'm sort of like, you didn't really get screwed. Like, maybe you didn't have an opportunity to complete on a play that has like a 5% completion percentage, but it's not like you got screwed because you had to be absolutely incredibly perfect even to get yourself in a position to do that.
Yeah, it, you know, all true. And, you know, listen, we say this every time a play comes down to one play, or it's all fun. It's great for the NFL, and it was super wild card weekend. Was just awesome in that sense. And although a couple of the games were duds, Ian, we can get into that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the drama was just fantastic. But the Cowboys, 14 penalties in that game.
A lot of pre-snap penalties, too, before the play was launched.
That was not a shining moment for Mike McCarthy's shop there, Ian.
Looking
at it from a Niners perspective, that's one of the sloppiest opponents they've played this year.
Yeah, and there was one late. It was like a hands to the face late that I think negated.
Yeah.
It would have been third down, right?
I think it might have even been a punt. Yeah.
That's right. I think they were going to punt. That's right. So, I mean, the Cowboys were definitely a mess. It was interesting, too, because, like, you know, what happens this time of year, I mean, I'm talking to sources all throughout the year, but this time of year I end up talking to a lot of coaches because, you know, as opposed to agents or whatever, just because it's the coaching carousel and everybody wants to talk. Most people thought that was one of the most talented rosters in the NFL. Just top to bottom, just one of the most talented rosters. And I would sort of agree. I mean, think about it, like, you know, there's a couple players on the Niners who would definitively start on any team. I would say Debo would probably start on any team.
Sure.
But the Cowboys got a lot of them. I mean, think about how many of their starters would start on literally every single other team in the NFL. I mean, many, many, many of them. So they are really talented. They were sloppy. Dak was not great and not accurate. CeeDee Lamb is maybe one of their best players, top three probably, and I think he only had one catch.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't have a lot of targets.
One catch for five yards, yep.
Whereas, like, you look at the 49ers, like, Debo is great, and everyone knows that, and he's also a specialty guy, so you have to make sure to design it to get the ball in his hands, and the 49ers consistently do it, despite everyone knowing that they have to do it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, like, that's a major difference.
Yep.
Now, I haven't gotten any sense that Mike McCarthy's in trouble, but this was obviously not a very good day, and it sets up a next year where, you know, I would say they have to have a very good season.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be, you know, say they got 7 months, I think, the Cowboys do to go over this, pour over. Meanwhile, the 49ers, Ian, 5 of their last 7 games have come down to the final play. At Seattle, it didn't work out. At Cincinnati, it did work out.
Tennessee.
At the Rams, at Tennessee.
It's
beginning to be their comfort zone here. And their defense, Ian, I mean, everybody's obsessed with the Jimmy drama, but it's D'Amico Ryans and the defense. I mean, I'm wondering if, you know, that story is, that D-line is becoming a thing, how they affect Rodgers. And then is D'Amico Ryans' stock going up, up, up? He has one interview, doesn't he? Yeah.
He does have an interview. It is the Minnesota Vikings put in for him over the weekend. And, you know, D'Amico has always been a bright up-and-coming coach. And I think even when he was a player, he was a bright up-and-coming coach. And, you know, he took over a really, really good situation and has continued it. And I thought at the absolute biggest moment, at the absolute biggest moments, his unit really stepped up, and I thought they did a really nice job. You guys talk. I have to tweet something. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. We'll do that for sure, man. Okay, Ian Rappaport here tweeting during our show. And after he did the Nickelodeon, by the way, did you at all check any Nickelodeon balls?
I didn't. I mean, no. No.
Copes, you check it in?
I was going slime free.
No, yeah.
I was too uptight. I was too much of a nervous wreck to get slime involved. And although Nance and Romo did acknowledge it a couple times on the big broadcast, but no, I didn't actually flip over there.
I will tell you this: Rory Murphy will like a Nickelodeon slime.
They giving you that the regular is not? Like, what are you getting?
Slime and like, for example, did you see what they did to Mike McCarthy's face at the end?
No, I didn't.
They drew his face like with like bull snort coming out of his nose and like his face eyebrows looking all angry and raged and all. Like, they made fun of Mike McCarthy's face and all that. No,
you're
all good.
Rapsheet, you're good.
We were just talking about all the Nickelodeon graphics on Mike McCarthy's face there at the end.
That was fun. And then every time Dak was running with the cowboy hat, I know my boys like that. I'm back now. Sorry.
Oh, okay. No, it's all good.
I'll tell you what, guys, I felt terrible last week. It was like, which seems like a month ago, but we're talking on, you know, the
Black Monday
season. Everybody was getting fired, and I was like, my head was about to explode. And I'm sorry. you guys did not have my full attention on that day. I think it was, yeah, that was, I'm very glad that that day was over.
Dude,
so I apologize.
Well, you're a class act to even say that, but we understand the deal. When we have you on at a time like that, we know the deal. That
you're
you
working.
Have, you have
yeah.
another, your primary employer requires
it's
that.
It's all so good, man.
We sure do appreciate it, though. Just as we, you know, before, we want to go around a little bit on the league in the Raider whistle, the Bengals Raiders whistle.
That's a tough one right there.
And wondering
boy.
How that has shaken out with all your sources. And, you know, is Jerome Bogard really not going to, I think your buddy Schefter tweeted he's not going to work anymore. Do the Raiders have maybe the most legit gripe all weekend or what?
Yeah. The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
I don't know about that one. I mean, yes, I think the crew was not going to work, but generally, I don't think that was a punishment. I think that was set already. I mean, I'm just, from the way it works, if you're working a wild card game, I think then you have a very slim chance of working again because that, you know, the better crew, I believe, works a divisional round and then has a chance at the Super Bowl. So I don't think they were going to work. I mean, I saw the story and I don't think it's wrong, but I don't think they were going to work anyway. I don't believe that was punishment.
Okay. Okay.
You know, I've watched the whistle and heard the whistle a bunch of times. You can see that people stop and like, it looks like the whistle was blown like a millisecond before he was catching it. Well, the NFL said it was blown after he was caught. So it looks like it's either right on time or right before, but it didn't look like the defender actually stopped. It looked like the defender continued. One of the defenders around the goal line kind of eases up, but his guy wasn't getting the ball anyway. So I understand the gripes, but as much as I look at it, I don't know that it actually affects the play.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it would have changed the result had something not been blown.
Or is it true, though, that once the whistle's blown, that play is invalidated? Dead.
Yes, that is true. And that's why, like, you know, could they have taken the touchdown off the board? Yes. I would have argued then it would have been kind of like, you know, the equivalent of a ticky-tack pass interference call with the game on the line. Like, is it technically a foul? Yes, but you really want to call that at this moment, you know what I mean? Like,
Raiders fans do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they want it.
Raiders fans certainly do. But I would just say, like, I think a touchdown was going to happen regardless. So I understand, but I was okay with the call.
Wow, look at that. Waterboy, our producer, Marcus, the guy you talked to, arms spread wide like you know, he's a Raider fan.
He's a black hole guy.
He's
yeah,
got his arms
yeah.
spread wide like the Rio de Janeiro
nice,
statue
nice,
up there
very
on the mountain.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, very good. Yeah.
He's furious.
Now, I assume, I'm not saying he's biased in any way, but I assume if it was the reverse, you would say the Bengals definitely deserve to get another chance at that.
If it was reversed, Waterboy, what do you think, man? He's saying the rules are the rules. He would have accepted a Bengal removal of a Raider
lies.
Touchdown.
Lies.
Yeah, lies.
Right, right. Sure you would, right? Hey, Ian, a little bit off field here. You know, it's getting traction. It's funny how things catch wind in the morning. And Dak Prescott's comments after the game are starting to get traction on social media, et cetera, of condoning the debris being thrown on the field. Do you see this as something the league – he might have a fine coming his way or what?
I don't know about a fine, but it's not great. You know, like, I don't know what you could fine him for. And I saw that, and it's weird because my first reaction was like, oh, okay, that's funny. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, because you're actually talking – like, those are actual bottles. You know, like people were really throwing stuff. And I know it was sort of reported or talked about, like, the fans were angry at the players. It wasn't the players. It was the refs. And that's also not okay. I mean, to me, like, what will probably happen, and I hope will happen, is that the Cowboys are going to look at the video and go, all right, if anybody threw anything, it's over. Like, you can't come here anymore because, you know, I'm probably in the minority here. But I even think that home fans booing their team is kind of ridiculous. Like, I know they have the right to, but, like, I don't know why you'd go to a game and boo your own team. It makes no sense. Throwing stuff is worse. Throwing stuff at the refs is very bad. So I think it's all bad, and I hope Calvis take a hard look at it.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see how that one continues to follow and gain traction. He's certainly kind of Monday morning, there's a big frown on him for doing that for the kids out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We got the kids watching you.
Well, and you can't take away that part of it because I love Dak. I've known Dak for a very long time. He is a class act through and through, from the way he interacts with teammates to just picking up garbage on the sideline. But it's okay to say that that comment was not right, and it was not.
He was emotional, and he reacted
that
way for sure.
Yeah.
Do you have any information on Nick Bosa's concussion or Fred Warner's ankle?
Yes. So on Nick Bosa's concussion, my information is that I cannot speculate on concussions. And it's not just me. It's impossible. You know, teammates sounded like he was talking in the locker room and okay, but that doesn't actually mean anything because everyone recovers from concussions differently. Mm-hmm. And we don't know. And it's, you know, it's not up to, you can't tough it out, right? I mean, it's multiple doctor's visits. It's an independent neurologist and they have one fewer day because usually it's Sunday to Sunday and now it's Sunday to Saturday.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And we'll see, you know, if he's able to practice on, actually it'd be Tuesday. If he's able to practice on Tuesday, I think that would be a good sign, but I don't know for sure. Fred Warner aggravated a previous ankle injury. He's going to have some tests today to see the severity. The fact that he was standing on the sidelines, I think, is good. And, you know, come playoffs, almost everybody plays, right? I mean, that's just almost everybody played. So my thought would be he'd be out there, but I definitely do not know for sure.
Okay, well, we'll follow your reports all week for sure. Just last couple things here before I let you go. Jimmy Garoppolo continues to just always be a talking point, and I'm wondering now that he's won a playoff game on the road, you know, fourth quarter, nothing to write home about, but he got the win.
No.
Had enough good throws to get the win earlier in the game.
Played well in the first half, yeah.
And made some big third down throws, too, to Juwan Jennings and all that. But my question is, now, as the 49ers look to the future in that sort of, I hate to be so transactional at this emotional joy moment here, but this, what they can get for him, is that going up, up, up as people are seeing him across the league? Or are they seeing him in the fourth quarter and that damages? I don't know. Just, you know, thinking about the Jimmy G trade market in the offseason.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, unless he has, like, the end of the regular season was a moment. So, like, I thought that was great. But I don't know that there's been questions of, like, how good is he? Is he any good? Can he complete the throws when he needs to? Like, I haven't really got the sense that that's a question. I mean, I think if you like Jimmy Garoppolo, and there are definitely teams that do, you kind of know what he is, right? Mm-hmm. If he played all 17 games, I guess I'm going to do this for another season now. If he played all 17 games, then he would be, to me, somewhere between, like, you know, the 8th or 9th best quarterback and the 15th best quarterback,
yeah,
something like
fair.
That. So if you trade for him, you are getting a pretty good starter. You know, you could quibble which side of that he's on, but, like, I like him, teams like him, pretty good starter. It's really just been about availability. I would say he's probably proving as much by playing right now than just, you know, with his hand that's going to need surgery as opposed to, you know, any other thing. I think his market's going to be good. He's a legit starting quarterback. You know, they came into this season thinking that they had a playoff roster, wanting to, you know, run it back with a quarterback and then figure it out after the season. Hope his trade value is high. It's actually all working out. I mean, it looks like the plan has been perfect, and execution has been great. So I think they're in a very, very good spot to get, you know, probably a significant haul for him.
Did you see Richard Sherman send out a tweet, said, "Hope the faithful show my guy Jimmy G the love he deserves. There's a reason he has so much love and respect from his teammates."
That was cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that. I like Sherman. He kind of just tells the truth, you know?
Yeah.
And I do get the sense his teammates like him. And one thing that teammates really appreciate is when you're going out there and you're not 100%.
Yes.
And he is most certainly not 100%.
He's doing this thing hurt.
The way it was explained to me is I thought it was gripping the football. But it sounds like it's more every time he throws, at the end of his throw, it's just intense pain. Like, that was the sort of explanation I got, which is terrible. And everybody knows it, and he's still out there playing. And kudos to him for doing that.
Man, fun stuff, Ian. And you got just friendly reminder as you head into the week, Aaron Rodgers 0-3 against the Niners in the playoffs all time.
I know we talked about this as the end of the, as the season kind of was closing and whatever.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, like, if the 49ers get in, and I was really unsure they were going to get in, if the 49ers get in, they would be an awful team to face because they run the ball and they have two guys in Ayuk and Deebo Samuel who are very hard to tackle. And just everyone's tired and it's late in the season. And like Deebo's, he's getting worse because he seems like he's just as strong and everyone's, I mean, he's so hard to corral.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's getting worse playing him that like they're a tough matchup. You know, I'm not saying the 49ers are going to win, but like they are a tough, tough matchup.
I love it, Ian, man. Great stuff. We love the week. And thanks for your classy apology for last week. No need to do it, but it just shows the caliber of human being.
Class
Ian Rappaport.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of the day. We'll very much look forward to next Monday, man.
Big time,
and look forward to your week of coverage, too, man. There's going to be some good. We didn't even get into the other ones. I mean, Cincy, Tennessee, you know, you got Bills Chiefs is going to be monstrous.
Oh, that's a good one.
But you can imagine.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
That's it's, you know, this week was okay. It was good. A lot of games and still going. I think next week is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, and even like the least high profile, which is, you know, Bengals Titans, like that could be the best. Like I love Joe Burrow. He's fun to watch. So this is going to be a great weekend. Really,
awesome.
Really great.
Can't wait. Thanks, Ian.
Thanks,
you're the best.
Ian. You're the man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
That's the rap sheet, Paulie. Look at the gentlemanly nature of Ian Rappaport.
The professionalism, the class, you know what I mean? Yeah.
he's been bucking for that early, like, you know.
Well, it's never too early to start thinking long-term.
Start talking Thalberg 2022?
Yeah, it's never too early to think long-term.
Right,
think
man.
Ballots.
By the way, KMBR Digital, which, by the way, was in Dallas.
Was Smiling Sammy down there?
Yeah.
With his jeans? With his goldfish?
Yeah.
Nice.
They
did
just
he pack a couple extra goldfish
they
for the flight?
They just posted, Paulie, you are going to lose your mind. As I consider you one of the great connoisseurs of Greg Papa's style, charisma, talent.
You guessed right. Yeah.
Where do you see this? KMBR Digital just put out a little. I guess they put a little GoPro camera next to Papa.
That's a GoPro.
And they have 2 minutes of Papa's performance in the booth up on KMBR Digital. They just put it up on our Twitter feed. Dude, you're gonna
I cannot wait.
I need you to just like sit
put
down.
In some space for me, Tim.
I need you to study this because the body language is incredible.
I want to get the calls. I'm gonna gesticulate and point.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got
awesome.
That.
I'm in.
We got Tim Ryan coming up in 15 minutes on KMBR 104.5 and 680, the Sports Leader.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.